I'll cry. stop singing. I'll never stop praising. Though he afflicts me, yet will I trust, yet will I pray. You're worthy of it all.
You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
You deserve it. Come on, New York.
You're
ladies and gentlemen, what an amazing song to start the day today. From you are all things, and to you are all things. You are worthy. You deserve the glory. And who are we talking about here? Well, we're not talking about me, and we're not talking about you. We're talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Good morning, all my wonderful God-fearing and forgiven souls. Welcome to rumble.com/LFATV. This is Rise Up. And if you're new to the program in any way, shape, or form, just to let you know what we do here on Rise Up, this is my personal journey with Jesus. I am not a qualified pastor or preacher to be running a church or anything like that, nor do I want to do that. I want to spread the word of God freely. I want to spread the word of the message of God and Jesus daily. I want their will to guide me using the Holy Spirit that dwells within me. And that is the only thing that I'm here to do. And this is my personal journey with Jesus. So come along. It's going to be quite a ride. And those of you who have been here for 337 episodes, you are aware that it is a roller coaster, ups and downs, this ways and that way, roundabouts, S turns and figure eights. But when it's all said and done, we are on that narrow path and we are walking with Jesus. And we are letting God and the Holy Spirit guide our way because we have given up control. We know that when we rely on ourselves, bad things happen. We know that when we rely on others, we are constantly let down. But we know that when we rely on God and we don't rely on ourselves or others to make sure that we are guided in a specific way or that we gain things for our personal value and our personal benefit, ladies and gentlemen, we are on the right path, and that is a journey with Jesus. So I welcome all of you today. We've got about 1,000 people here watching already this morning. Happy birthday to Kurt, I'm Sullivan's son. Yes, and Bad Moon is back. Ladies and gentlemen, Bad Moon is back. God bless you, sir. Okay, please open up your verses of the day today, and I'm going to read. I'm going to read from the description of today's show, which is Rise Up, episode number 337. I said, write some stuff in the sand and write some stuff on a rock. How many of you have ever done that growing up? How many of you took a little stick or a rock and wrote in the sand on the beach or took a rock and carved into the other rock like a heart or Johnny Loves Susie or I Was Here or whatever it is. How many of you have carved something into a tree hoping that it would last forever? Those are the things that we're going to talk about today. It's going to be a wonderful show. It's going to be a wonderful message. And I pray that you can share, Rumble, get it to your friends and family. Jay Gizme says, I still do. I still do. Victory says, had to take a bit of a break from the news. I get you. A lot of people feel that way. And of course, yes, Juphoff said, still do. Yes, I still do. Good times, those were the good old days, says Splendor Faith. Thank you, Jeremy, and you all for your birthday wishes. Well, you are so incredibly welcome. Happy birthday again. I loved writing stuff in the sand. St. Simon's Island, Georgia, said Kittenhead. Didn't we all? Didn't we all? Well, we're going to talk about that today. And in order for us to talk about that properly today, our verses of the day were sent to you by email. But just for those who don't get the email or can't find the email or whatever it is, please have your Bibles opened up to 2 Timothy 3:12, because that's where we're going to start in our verse today. 2 Timothy 3:12. Again, 2 Timothy 3:12. Hey, Barb Naylor says, I got the job, so I'm getting as much live LFA as I can before I start. Well, Barb, I was just getting ready to reach out to you as well, because we've got an order of brand new coffee mugs that we need to order. So congrats to you for getting the job. And I hope that you're going to be able to be free, because as we make the big move to Iowa, we're going to be shutting down the store for about 30 days so we can restock the store with new items, new stuff for the summer and the fall, and for the rest of the year here on LFA, new coffee mugs, new water bottles, new this, new that. We've got so many new designs coming for the election year and for Jesus, and I can't wait to show you guys. Producer Eli's been hard at work, as well as other people. So I hope, Barb, that you're ready to have even more work, because this is what God does. He provides and overflows your cup when you are obedient to him. So Barb Naylor says, awesome. Yep, I'm two jobs full time now. Well, isn't that weird? We have to do that in a Biden world, huh? But guess what? It's not I got to go to work. It's not I got to do two jobs. I get to go to work. I get to do two jobs, right? Bad Moon says, Eli, thank you for all of your hard work. Well, Bad Moon, we've been praying for you and your family and your wife as well, and we'll continue to pray for you. We love you as well, sir. Verse 16 of that passage has already been underlined and starred my Bible. Excellent, excellent passage. Well, I'm glad you're there. You bet, Jeremy. I'll take all the work I can get. Amen. Tim Gustafson, I've been out of the country. When is the move happening? Also, congrats. Well, Tim, I'm glad you're here. We have had a great time promoting your wonderful business and following your family on your vacation. We hope your daughter and everything is well. We definitely prayed, and we're glad you're back, and I hope you have a schedule, a full schedule of people to get to. You bet, Jeremy, I get all heaven sent, says Barb Naylor. We love you, dear. We love you. What link do I go to give money to Rise Up, says River Rat. Well, you can do it right here. You should have a little dollar sign down below the live chat where it says subscribe. You can do it right here on Rumble Rants, or you can go to jeremyharrell.com. That is jeremyharrell.com, and there's a donate section up there, and you can put in there, this is for Rise Up, and I would appreciate all of that, because God knows we need all we can get, right? Oh, Tim's daughter's doing great. Beautiful. Well, you know what? It's a good time for prayer, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Please remove your hats, or whatever it is you're wearing, on top of your dome, and let's have a nice dialogue, a nice discussion, a nice thanksgiving to the Lord. Here we go. Lord and Heavenly Father, you are so kind, beautiful, wonderful, amazing, and forgiving. Being a Christian is not easy. Being a Trump supporter is easier than being a Christian today in this world. Being a Christian will get us persecuted, prosecuted, oppressed, threatened, and hunted. But all of that is temporary. All of that is temporary and pales in comparison to what is waiting for us at the end of this life here on this earth. But as Christians, we desperately want to bring the kingdom of heaven to this earth. And that is why we are persecuted, prosecuted, threatened, labeled, targeted, and hunted down. And we are so very grateful for that. I never thought I'd have ever imagined that I would say I'm grateful for that stuff. I would say I hate that stuff, but I'm grateful for that stuff because I know why. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about that. And we're going to be using analogies today that everybody can relate to because it's something that we've all done since we were kids. We thank you for this message. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells in us and the guidance that he gives us. We thank you for the sacrifice of your son, Jesus of Nazareth. And we thank you for salvation, mercy, and grace. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you guys, but every day I feel more and more closer to the Lord. And every day I feel less and less angry. And every day I feel less and less hopeless. I feel more hopeful every day. Every single day I wake up now, I look at it truly like a lottery. And when I leave my house in the mornings, I put my hand on the mezuzah, which is a Jewish protection that Jews have in the doorway of their house to basically symbolize the blood over the door during Passover. And when we moved in there, I know you guys remember this story, it was just there. And we figured that God, we should never have been able to buy our house. We had the worst credit, we had no money, and we were the worst candidates to buy a house. Me and my wife used to walk by this house that we live in now when we lived about a half a mile up the road, same street, and we used to take walks down this road, which is like, it leads into a big cul-de-sac. And when we walked out, or when we walked down there, we'd walk by this house and we'd say, man, if we could ever live in a house like this, because we thought it was so cute, so beautiful. We always said, man, if we could live in a house like this, if God's will is for us to live in a house like this, we will forever be fulfilled. A year later, we lived in that house. No plans to buy it, no money, trash for credit. I don't know how it happened. But when we moved into that house, we noticed that there was this thing in the doorway. We got explained to us that it was this thing called a mezuzah. We never knew what it was. So this is why it was a very hard decision for us to sell this house and move, because God gave us this house. But also God directed us to sell it and move too. It's something that we did not come up with. You know what I mean? God just opened doors. And we realized that this house was a stepping stone. So every day when I leave this house, I put my hand on the mezuzah and I stand on my porch. I look at my American flag flowing in the wind. I put my head down and I thank God for all of it. Hey, River Rat, thank you, man. I love and appreciate you, Jeremy. You've waking me up and giving me a new family. Aw. I've searched for a worthy body of Christ. And now I found it. You know, it's bringing tears to my eyes reading that. Choked me up right away because just because I don't feel worthy. All glory to God, right? All glory to God. Fur Grizzly says, can you rent it out? No, we have to sell it, actually, because we don't have that kind of money to just be able to be owning houses and buying houses. You know what I mean? but that was very nice of you to say. So I put my hand on that mezuzah, and I thank God for everything. I thank God for the house. I thank God for the opportunity to live there. I thank God for the people that I can help in a day. I thank God for the trials and the tribulations that my family goes through. And I'm just really, really joyful, you know? I don't know why that made me tear up so much. It just, you know, it's nice to know that my journey with Jesus is helping others find their way to him as well. Somebody said, will you be leaving the mezuzah for somebody else and the next owner? Yes, we will. And we'll actually be explaining to them what it is and why we left it there for them, whoever that may be. I do know one thing, that we took down all the pictures in our house now. yeah, W. Wilson, I already asked. I that was my first thing. Have Eli buy it. But it's, you know, it's too much house. It's for seven people, and it's just Eli, and it's just him and his wife and their two fur babies. So it's just too much house. It is called the Holy Spirit. You're right. It is. But I do know one thing. We took down all our pictures in the house, and what we did leave up, though, is all of our Jesus stuff. There are crosses all over the house. There is, this house is blessed. There is, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. There's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. There's Philippians over here. There's God everywhere. So I'm going to tell you what right now. We're going to turn people off that aren't godly from buying that house. And that's exactly what I want to happen. I promised my neighbors that I would make sure that a good, godly family came in. And if that's God's will, then that's God's will. You know? So yeah, we will leave them the we'll leave them the mezuzah for sure. I want to get into today's verses, and yes, Mazzy Paws, I did know that. His name is actually Brian. He was the first one, the member of Korn, to accept Christ. He was the guitarist. And yeah, he was the first one to accept Christ. And then of course I saw what's his name? I saw Russell Brandt also get baptized over this last weekend. What's going on with SL20? SL20, you'll be missed. I'm unable to be in the chat for a week or so. Already miss you all. Well, same thing to you. We miss you too. Let's get right into it, ladies and gentlemen. The verses of the day today are going to come from 2 Timothy, and I'd like to go there now, if we can. I'll go to the newsletter, and I'll read from the newsletter, just in case some of you didn't get it, okay? Jeremy, you have no idea the impact you have had on my life and my 15-year-old son. I know I speak for many here. Man, I'm telling you, that hits right down here, real deep. So I want to say thank you to all of you for that. Verse of the day today, 2 Timothy 3:12. If you guys can all go there, 2 Timothy 3:12. Jeremy, the mezuzah isn't a bad thing. It's not like an idol or anything bad for a home. No, no, no. The mezuzah is a good thing. The mezuzah is a good thing. It's just like it just symbolizes the blood over the door during Passover. It symbolizes keeping bad energy, bad evil spirits out, and it's a protection for your home. It's a very, very beautiful thing. It's a very beautiful thing. All right, here we go. 2 Timothy 12, and we're going to read all the way through 17, okay? All right, here we go. I can't stop reading your comments over here. This is episode 337. All right. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. Now, that's really strange, isn't it? Because we're always talking about those who live a godly life in Christ are joyful, are happy, have a smile on their face, accept and pray for all bad things, wearing an armor of God. The devil can't take you down. If God be for me, who be against me? So how can something so pure and strong and rooted in God and protected by God, how could that be persecuted? While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. And now from childhood, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So I asked you in the beginning of this, how can somebody that has all of those characteristics and God behind him, how could they be persecuted and prosecuted so much? Well, the end is right there. It tells you in the end. Because the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You would not be complete without being persecuted and withstanding that persecution. You would not be complete if you didn't walk through the fires of hell like Jesus did, which we'll get to in a minute, unless you were persecuted and prosecuted. River Rat, that did go through. It's a $20. It was a $1 and then a $20. We thank you so much. Your statement even made me cry. So that's why. Why? Why? If we're God's chosen. And by the way, you know how people always say that God's chosen people are the Israelites? That's you. It's not some people thousands of miles away that live in the Holy Land. You are God's chosen people. You are an Israelite. You are a Jew. You are a Christian. You are a completed Jew. That's what a Christian is. So when you talk about God's people and God's chosen and God's blessed, that's you. That is you. So when you ask yourself, how could God's chosen, me, who follows and obeys God and tries to separate myself from the world every day and be closer to Jesus, how can I be persecuted? The answer is right there, because if you don't, you can't be complete and you cannot be equipped for every good work. That's the answer. But you go back to verse 12 and it says, indeed, all who desire to live godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Period. If you choose to do what we're doing, if you choose to have your own journey with Jesus, you will be persecuted. MDUS says, what about the Jews who don't believe? Might as well be, they're on their way to hell. There's no other way to say it. They are not complete Jews. We are his people, but the Israelites are separate. If I'm chosen, I'm chosen. I don't care if you're Israelite or American. You are a Jew. Yes, Israelites come from a specific place and Americans come from a specific place. But if you are a Judeo-Christian, see what I'm saying? The tribulation is to bring Jews to Christ. Amen. Those who don't believe, no matter the race, they have God to deal with, says Bad Moon. Amen. Amen. Good morning. I'm such a mess. Can't stop crying, said Shishu. Well, Shishu, just to go off topic here, I just got to let you know that my wife and I talked about you last night. My wife and I talked about you last night as we were talking about the whole pet theory. And my wife is actually on the same page as me. She's actually on the same page as me when it comes to the pets in heaven thing. So just know that you are in good hands, and so is your beautiful, wonderful fur baby. Okay? All right. I have a story for you. You guys ready for story time? Who's ready for story time? Raise your hands. Let's go to the Rumble chat real quick. Let's see what the LFA family, the Rise Up family, is talking about this morning. I thought that was a replacement theory. Am I mistaken? Or am I mistaken? I thought that was replacement theology. Or am I mistaken? I don't know what that, I don't know what you're referring to. I'm sorry. We are Gentile Christians, not Jews. The Jews are being called back to Israel. Even if they live in America, they need to find the Lord. That's what the revival. Yes. We Gentiles were grafted in. Yes, our fur babies have souls. Jeremy, did you reply to the inmate? No, I never did. I never did. God, I actually completely forgot all about it, to be honest with you. Story time is the best. Love story time. All right, well, just like in kindergarten, it's story time, ladies and gentlemen. So let's go and do that now. It's not my story. It's just a story. Here we go. Two friends are walking in a desert. No food, no water, and no end in sight. Eileen, we are grafted into the family of Jewish. Yes, that's exactly what that's what I said in different words, but that's a better way to do it. That's right. Two friends walking in a desert, no food, no water, no end in sight. After a couple of days of no food, no water, and no end in sight, walking in the desert, getting annoyed with each other, getting upset, one friend slaps the other friend in the face. Got annoyed, got upset, no food, no water. They don't know if they're going to live. They got in an argument. One friend got so annoyed with the other friend, smacked him in the face. The friend that got smacked in the face did not retaliate. Instead, the friend who got smacked in the face bent down and with his finger wrote in the sand, "Today, my friend slapped me in the face." I want to stop right there before we move on. I imagine that the friend who slapped the other friend in the face probably had immediate regret when they did so. They let their anger take over. But I'll bet you, when the friend that got slapped reached down and wrote in the sand, "Today, my friend slapped me in the face," imagine how bad that friend must have felt. Imagine the pain that the friend who did the slapping must have felt when his friend wrote, "Today, my friend slapped me in the face." They continue to walk on after that, not speaking so much, not having any conversation. And then all of a sudden, they see a massive oasis. Trees, water, animals. They start running to the oasis to get a much needed and much deserved drink of water. So they rush there, and they're drinking water, and they're drinking water. And it's so hot because they're in the desert, they feel like, we're going to go for a swim. So they jump in, and they go for a swim. All of a sudden, the friend who got smacked in the desert, who bent down and wrote with his finger in the sand, "Today, my friend slapped me in the face," started drowning. He had drank too much water. He was dehydrated. Sun was beating down on him for 2 days. He didn't have any strength. He just started drowning. Immediately, the friend who smacked him in the face swims out to him, grabs him, rescues him, and brings him to shore. Immediately, as the friend who was drowning and who had been previously slapped in the face comes to, spits out water, he realizes what just happened. So he finds a rock, and he goes to another rock, and this time, instead of writing in the sand with his finger, he uses the rock and carves in another rock. Today, my friend saved my life. What a difference, huh? A few hours ago, my friend was so mad at me as we were dying, he slapped me in the face. As we were needing each other the most, we got angry with each other. He smacked me in the face, and I wrote, today, my friend smacked me in the face. Now, I'm drowning. My friend saves my life. So I carve in a rock this time, not in the sand. Today, my friend saved my life. Now, confused by this, the friend who saved his life and the friend who smacked him previously asks him, I don't understand. Why, when I smacked you in the face, did you write in the sand, today my friend slapped me in the face? And then why, when I saved you, did you carve into a rock, today my friend saved my life? I don't understand. So the friend who almost died and who was slapped, but who was saved, replies, when someone does something that hurts you, when somebody does something that makes you feel targeted, when somebody does something that wrongs you, write it in the sand and let the winds of forgiveness carry it away. And when you feel grateful for what somebody's done for you and not against you, and when you feel thankful for what somebody did to you and not against you, engrave it on the temple of your hearts. That way, we can remember we have both good and bad coming into our lives every day from the same people in a lot of cases. One of the keys to endless joy is to remember any remnants of the good and to forgive and let go any of the bad. Having heard that, the friend who did the slapping and the saving dropped to his knees, broke down in front of his friend, cried to him and asked for forgiveness for what he did to him, even though he just saved his life. And the friend who got slapped and saved said, I forgave you when I wrote it in the sand. And God sent wind and washed that away. It's gone now. However, what you just did for me is engraved on that rock and on the temple of my heart forever. And God will never send a wind or a water to wash it away or to carry it away. It is stuck there forever, the good that you did for me today. So, in 2 Timothy, when it says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted, remember, that persecution is going to come from the same people that love you. That persecution is going to come from the same person who you've probably known and loved your whole life. But also that greatness is also going to come from them. And it's your job to write it in the sand and let it be carried away. Because it means nothing. And that does not define who they are. But when they do something good to you, write it on a rock so it stays there forever. Or in a tree. Now, let's go to the LFA family. Just like Jesus washes away our sins. Amen. Powerful lesson, says Armelius. Colossians 3:14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. River Rat. Oh, I love this story. Kelly says, I wish people would own up to what they did to me. I'd forgive it in a snap. Guess what? Write it in the sand right now and forgive it now. Don't put your forgiveness on what they do or what they don't do anymore. Write it in the sand today. This is a powerful message, says Freebird. I love it. The closest hurt us the most. Bless us the most too. Good story. I will remember this each time I'm at the beach or taking a hike. Jeremy, pray for my aunt. She is dying and she isn't saved. We definitely will. My wife and I will definitely pray for that. Before this story, it was the opposite for me, said Trishy. Great message. I love story time. I've been trying to forgive my sister, says L. Brower. Thank you, Lord. That stuck in my heart, says J.A. Fish. Jeremy, a few rise ups ago, you encouraged us to step out in faith and share with others our testimony, which is not easy for me. Well, because of you, two souls were brought to Jesus and as their Lord and as their Savior. Wow. All glory to God. So, ladies and gentlemen, the moral of today's story, write it in the sand when somebody wrongs you and hurts you. When somebody persecutes you, prosecutes you, targets you, or labels you, write it in the sand and let God carry it away with one gust of wind. And when somebody does something good for you, go carve it in a tree or carve it on a rock and let it be forever engraved on your hearts. Amen? All right. Wow. What a day today, huh? Well, ladies and gentlemen, remember when I said, you've got to go to hell for Jesus because Jesus went to hell for you. Hope you guys all know that Mel Gibson is going to be coming out with his second installment of his story of Jesus Christ called The Resurrection, right? Eli, what do we hear? That's going to be coming out in 2026 or 2025, something like that, next year? I guarantee you it's going to have a far larger impact than The Passion of Christ did, especially, Eli, with everything going on in Hollywood, everything going on around the world, the sex trafficking, the human trafficking, the bad everywhere, the evil, right? When Mel Gibson comes out with his new installment called The Resurrection, it's going to be the story of what happened from to Jesus from the minute that he died on earth to the minute he transcended to heaven. And it is going to be one heck of a movie. And I can't wait for the people of the world to gnash their teeth at that movie, just like they did The Passion of the Christ. But in that time period, Jesus went to hell. And what he went to hell for, if you don't know, might blow your mind. So when you're persecuted to live a life through Jesus Christ, again, don't worry about it. Smile, puff your chest out, give all that glory to God. Keep moving forward, write things in the sand, write things on the rocks. But do it all for Christ. Check this out. Put this on the screen and play it.
This went to hell. Referenced in 1 Peter 3:18-20, the Bible tells us, For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits. This passage unveils the profound depth of Christ's sacrifice, extending even beyond the grave, the purpose of the descent. Why would Jesus, in all his purity and holiness, journey into the depths of hell? This act was not a defeat, but a declaration of victory over sin and death. It was a mission to proclaim freedom for the captives and to shatter the chains of the fallen. Jesus illuminated the darkest corners of existence with the unquenchable light of God's love. Victory and vulnerability. In this descent, Jesus demonstrates that there is no place too remote, no darkness too deep for the reach of God's saving grace. He ventured into the heart of darkness to ensure that even the most lost souls have the chance to witness the light of salvation. A message for us. Jesus' journey into hell and back is a testament to the boundless love God has for each of us. It reassures us that no matter how far we may stray or how lost we feel, redemption is always within reach. It's a call to remember that through faith, we too can overcome the darkness that surrounds us. Drop an amen if you agree with me.
Oh, I dropped a lot of amens on that one, folks. That one brought me to tears more than once. Jesus going to hell for us. Jesus going to hell for the lost and trapped and captive souls. Jesus illuminating the darkest reaches of the darkest places. Coming in and showing the light of God where all this sewer, dark, demon, disgusting, demonic life lives. Jesus walked in there like a boss and said, yeah, I am he. I am he that dwells in heaven. I am he. I am the Son of the living God. And I am here. Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. I got another video here for you from Frank Turek. It's going to take us all the way to the end of today's show. But it is a great fiery debate, leaving an atheist speechless.
Arguments that I've never heard an atheist refute. They may respond to the argument. You may hear words coming out of their mouths as a response to the argument. But what you will not hear is a answer or a true rebuttal to the moral argument. It's one of those nuclear bomb arguments for Christians. It's, in my opinion, it remains one of the strongest, irrefutable arguments for God. Check out this Frank Turek video where he debates an atheist, and he's just dumbfounded, stumped, if you will, by the moral argument. Let's get right into it.
Morality requires some higher objective to come from. God's the last thing it should come from. God
should.
Morality.
Wait. You're using the word should. That's a moral term. Where'd you get that from?
English language.
Okay, but what do you mean? You used it in a way that it was immoral if it came from God. How are you coming up with the standard that it should come from something other than God? Why?
Because morality should not come from God, because in the Bible, God clearly endorses and condones slavery, murder, and rape. He does. And all I need to do to support that is quote Leviticus 25, however, you may purchase male or female slaves among the foreigners who live among you.
Okay.
I mean, why should morality come from God when he endorses slavery,
murder? By the way, slaves are not the same thing as they are today.
First of all, is there something wrong with slavery, murder, and rape?
Yes, there is.
Why?
Because it sucks for the people that you're raping or enslaving or murdering.
But it might be fun for the people who are doing it.
Notice the laughter. Obviously, murder and rape are wrong. They are wrong. But the most common objection I always hear to that type of argumentation is, we won't do that because we wouldn't want those things done to ourselves. Nobody who's experiencing those things are enjoying those things. Absolutely. But what they don't ever take into account is the people doing the things. The person experiencing it does not like those things happening to them. That doesn't mean the person doing them has the same feeling. This is where the argument and the rebuttals fall apart because they cannot justify why it's wrong outside of themselves. So they make themselves the moral standard, smuggling from God, importing something that they cannot justify.
Is there something wrong with slavery, murder, and rape?
Yes, there is.
Why?
Because it sucks for the people that you're raping or enslaving or murdering.
But it might be fun for the people who are doing it. Right?
Right.
In other words, again, you're importing a moral law to criticize what the Bible says. Let's leave the Bible out of it for a second. Suppose the Bible isn't true. Right?
Okay.
What you can say is, I think the Bible's wrong morally. But what you can't say is, the Bible's wrong morally, but I don't have a standard to call it immoral. You can say that the Bible's immoral only if you have a God that says the Bible's immoral, right?
Yes.
Okay, but you can't be an atheist and say the Bible's immoral.
Because
you don't, you have no standard of morality.
Wait a sec. I'm an atheist. I can say the Bible's immoral.
Yeah, but you can't justify it because you have no standard of morality by which to say something's immoral.
Yes, I do.
What is it?
I have a standard of morality. It's not okay to kill someone or rape someone or enslave someone.
But that's just your opinion. Hitler says it is. So it's just subjective. It's your subjective opinion against Hitler's subjective opinion.
Yes, opinions are subjective.
So it's not an objective morality then. That's what you're saying.
Got him.
Right? Morality's not objective.
No, it's
not. Okay, so there's nothing wrong with the Nazis. There's nothing wrong with rape, slavery.
To them, there's not. But to us, there is. And it's very clear that societies that don't do that are much better off.
Better off. Again, you're importing a moral law. We can go around on this. Do you guys see what we're doing here?
Okay, we're going in circles.
We're going in circles because you don't have a standard by which to judge anything moral or immoral if you're an atheist.
Let's take a moment of silence for the silence of that atheist. That atheist, the wheels were turning in his mind. You can almost see him recognizing the self-defeated worldview that he has.
Yep.
You could almost see the cracks of the foundation falling apart in his mind. He knew then, he admitted that his framework is subjective. And if it is subjective, my friends, he has no ground to stand on. He has no
no argument.
Ground
no, he
to
can't.
Criticize the Bible.
He has no proof. He has
because
no receipts.
He is just giving his meaningless opinion. If he believes morality is subjective, as he admitted, then he cannot sit here and pontificate and act like he's some moral standard and the Bible is immoral. A self-defeating argument is like having a gun and the barrel is pointing at yourself.
That's exactly right.
And you pull the trigger and you shoot yourself. That is the atheist framework of morality.
Because
you don't, you have no standard of morality.
Wait a sec. I'm an atheist. I can say the Bible's immoral.
Yeah, but you can't justify it because you have no standard of morality by which to say something.
Yes, I do.
What is it?
I have a standard of morality. It's not okay to kill someone or rape someone or enslave someone.
But that's just your opinion. Hitler says it is. So it's just subjective. It's your subjective opinion against Hitler's subjective opinion.
Yes, opinions are subjective.
So it's not an objective morality then. That's what you're saying.
They criticize the Bible and act as if they are appalled by what's happening in the Bible, but they don't have a moral ground.
So ladies and gentlemen, the moral of that story is there's no reason for Frank Turek or anyone else to have a debate with an atheist if the atheist is not going to bring the receipts or any of the standard that is rooted in truth and reality to the argument, and they're just bringing their pride, they're just bringing their own opinions, they're pontificating on and literally just saying nonsense based on what they believe. But again, Frank isn't saying the Bible is real because I said it is. Frank isn't saying that being moral and having a moral compass needs to be what I say it is. He's saying it says what God says it is. And if you can't come up with an alternative or something bigger than God and bring it to this debate, then there's no debate to have. Because you it's like the gun pointing at yourself. And I think that's what we, instead of being the type of Christian that feels like you have to defend somebody's opinion, don't do that. Do what Ray does. Do what Frank does. Do what Ken Ham does. Do what Cliff Netschel does. And lay out the facts. Because when you lay out the facts, you can never go wrong. Somebody asked, what was the name of that song that was playing earlier? It's called Worthy of It All. Frank Wickham, and Chandler Moore from Bethel Music. I think it's from Bethel Music, right? Maverick City Music. My bad. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for Rise Up today. It's 10 o'clock, and Mike Crispy's coming on next. You're not going to want to miss that show. Heard it's going to be a banger. Also, ladies and gentlemen, 11 o'clock, live from America, 2 hours, and I got the great Scott Pressler joining in. So you're not going to want to miss that. All right, guys, I love you. Thank you for being here for Rise Up, guys. You guys are awesome. I love you. I'll miss you in this next hour, but I'll see you at 11 o'clock, okay? All right. Have a great morning, guys. I hope today's message worked for you. See you later, guys.